Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We are back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget all the cool things you can do there. It's small business heaven. I promise you, if you're a small business owner or wannabe, you'll like this site because there's a lot of good things there for you and links and all kinds of things, archives, articles. You can subscribe to my free newsletter. Lots of things you can do there. And if you'll check it out, it's jbsba.com. Stephen Gaffney is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, a longtime member of our Brain Trust and a good friend of ours. He's the author of Just Be Honest, and that's what he does. He helps companies and individuals all over the country, halfway around the world, learn how to use open and honest communication for more effective performance of them, for themselves and for their organizations. And he's, as I said, he's our good friend. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back, Stephen. One of the things that I know you talk to people about, Steve, is how to communicate honestly. But you know, when we say that to people, they, well, of course I'm going to be honest. Well, what are you talking about? I don't need to listen to you, Blasingame. I don't need your pontificating about being honest. You know, who the heck do you think you are? Of course I'm going to be honest. But you can't really just lay it out there like that, can you? You got to say things like, well, okay, that's fine, but when you're experiencing change in your organization, your boss or your one of your customers or one of your vendors, or maybe you're an employee and your boss says we have to change things, how honest are you about your attitude about that? That changes things a little bit, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Well, first, the most important part is for people to tell the truth when it comes to change. And one of the most common things that people do that gets them in trouble is they think, well, you know, we don't know exactly what's happening. So we don't know exactly what's happening. Let's just not say anything. Here's a big problem with that. Recently, a company that I know, they thought that, and what happened was their employees found out that they were up for sale in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And that has completely undermined
holy mackerel
the employees. Yeah, absolutely. Now, here's the thing. It wasn't like the sale went through. It was just that there was a possibility
right
of selling the company.
And they found out about it in the media.
Absolutely. And, you know, instantly the trust was broken. To repair that problem is going to cost them just a lot of money and just a lot of anguish, not to mention all the lost productivity. Well, here's the thing that often happens, and this happens whether it's a small business or whatever business. When people, when they are going through change, they often restrict information, which is the absolute worst thing you can do.
Right.
The best thing is to share everything and be as open as possible. A good example of this was Johnson & Johnson years ago when Tylenol, you know, was some of those tablets were laced with cyanide.
Right.
And how they responded, and they responded in a fashion where they shared everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was a horrific example, but that company is now thriving today.
Yeah.
Because of the way they handled it. It's so important.
And the opposite of that is the way the Chinese handled the SARS epidemic. Because they didn't get it out. In fact, the guy that broke the news, the guy that leaked the news, I think is now in jail or something. I think the Chinese have got him in jail. But you know, they held that information in, didn't tell people what was going on, and consequently the SARS epidemic got worse.
It's amazing, isn't it? And if people just told the truth so much of the time, it would just increase trust. Because if you just are open and you could say, for example, there's a possibility of the company being sold. We don't want to worry anybody, but on the other hand, we don't want you to read it through the news. What it would do is, would that produce anxiety? Absolutely. But if hearing about it in the media makes it even worse. Now, why do people do that? I don't believe that people are malicious. I don't think they're trying to withhold information because they're trying to be evil. It's they get afraid. It's the fear of if we do tell people what we think we know, what we don't know, it's going to worry them. And they just don't take that logic all the way through to realize how much it hurts everybody.
Well, let me sort of stick a finger in the eye of this little discussion just a little bit and give a little bit of slack to the owners of those businesses. Because just because somebody calls on you and says, I want to buy your business, or just because you might talk to them for a month or two just to see if there's a fit, that, you know, and nothing has happened or maybe never will happen, Just because that's going on doesn't mean that you should tell everybody. I mean, everything that a business owner thinks they may or may not do doesn't belong in, you know, all over the company. And so,
absolutely.
And that is a challenge, isn't it? To know when it's not, and that owner is not being dishonest. They just, you know, everybody. It's not important that the truck driver know what's going on in the CEO's office.
Well, that's often what people think, and obviously there's some things where people are exploring all kinds of ideas that may not be up for everybody to know. But if you're going to err on which side, err on the side of sharing, and here's why, because the world is different than it used to be 10 or 20 years ago.
Right.
With the advent of the Internet, people find out things very quickly. So right. That model of thinking perhaps was workable maybe 10, 15 years ago, but that's just old way of thinking right
now. But Steve, the only thing about it, though, is there's still something, there's still an old-fashioned document called a non-disclosure agreement. And,
absolutely.
You know, there still are those things out there that people sign on both sides of the desk. And so the main thing, to me, the main thing, it goes back further than that. This, what we're talking about now, is a symptom, Stephen. And that is, if you've had a record of being honest and open and forthcoming with your people.
Yes.
And something like this happens, you've already built up enough slack. You've already built up enough of a credibility balance in your account, so to speak, that allow them to cut you some slack. That's, to me, that's how you solve a problem like this. You do it before it ever happens.
Absolutely. And you build credibility. And here's the thing. Everybody makes mistakes, and it's a judgment call. And I actually, coming back to my original point, I don't believe that people do this because they're trying to be hurtful of an employee or something. I just think that they're just trying to look out for people,
mm-hmm.
and they just are, and people get afraid, and they're afraid of the repercussions of, you know, people do find out exactly what's going on, and the mere fact of what you rationalize, which I think is really appropriate, which is why, you know, we're just exploring, and we have the right to explore all kinds of things, and some things are appropriate knowledge, and some are not. But here's what a good rule of thumb, and it goes back to, I guess, thousands of years. Treat others the way you want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And people, this is what I often say. I just had this last week. Somebody came up to me and they said, I don't know if I should share this. I said, well, let me ask you something. If the roles were reversed, what would you want done? The person looked at me and they said, okay, I'll tell the person tomorrow. It's just a good rule of thumb.
Yeah.
You can usually figure that out.
The book is called Just Be Honest. Okay. And folks, in chapter 8, there's one of my favorite chapters in the book. Is called 7 Tips for Preventing Ineffective Communication. We come back, I want to get Stephen to talk to us about, we're going to talk about change a little bit differently. Not macro change like we're going to sell the company, but change inside of the company, like we're going to move this over there and that over there. To talk about how to communicate that. We're going to do that with Stephen Gaffney, the author of Just Be Honest, right after these messages. It's 20 after. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Stephen Gaffney, the author of Just Be Honest. Stephen, tell us how we can get to your website, please.
Actually, if they go to justbehonest.com, that's justbehonest.com, all one word. And it actually reminds me of something. On our website is an archived email tip that we sent out a while back about how to confront somebody who may be lying. So if they go to justbehonest.com, they can just get it.
All right. I appreciate that. And they can find out more about the book, too, can't they?
Absolutely.
And and it's available wherever books are sold?
Yes.
All right.
The easiest way is obviously to go to our website. Now, if they go to our website and they order it and they tell us that they heard about it through your show, then, of course, we're going to throw in the audio CD about
all
how
right.
to save time with communication.
Good deal. So you got a little extra there, folks. If you order it from Stephen, tell him that you heard it on the show, he'll throw in some extra stuff for you there, nice audio CD. And we really appreciate that, Stephen. Okay, let's talk about the more commonplace types of changes that we need to be honest about. Let's talk about some internal things. The And this is maybe a good thing to talk about to employees of small businesses. Stephen, because if I need to make a change in my business and I own the company and I'm the boss, and you know I decide we need to make some changes, hopefully I will have already been honest with my people and asked their opinion, and gotten their buy-in on what we're going to do, and we've made the change. In such a way that they agree with it, so that they can fulfill the changes, but none of this works. Me going to them and saying, "Hey, I'm thinking about making these changes. I'm thinking about trying this new direction. What do you think?" That doesn't work if they're not honest with me, is it?
In fact, everybody's got to be upfront with each other. And also, is it possible you might go to an employee and say, "We're making some changes," and not ask for their input? Absolutely. Sometimes a great leader has to make the call and make an unpopular call, but something they feel is correct.
Yeah.
That's not inappropriate, but the key thing is to be as upfront as possible. And, of course, if you can get buy-in, it just makes those changes a lot easier.
I heard somebody say once that the only two people who could tell the king that he was wrong was the jester and the priest. Everybody else would lose their head if they told the king that he was wrong. And so we need to make sure that we have the kind of relationship with our folks that more than just the jester or the priest can come to us and say, "You know what? I hear what you're saying. I see that you want to make these changes, but I'm not sure it's the right thing to do," or whatever, however you want to say it. But what I would encourage people to do, Stephen, is to not just be negative. Explain why you think that you're uncomfortable with the change or whatever, and if at all possible, bring another idea to the table. Don't just be part of the problem, be part of the solution.
Absolutely. But, one of the key things, though, is people train and condition people to be upfront or not be upfront. I see a lot of business owners and managers, supervisors, who are in a leadership role who actually train people to not be upfront with them. Mm-hmm. And how they do that is they say they want honesty, and then when somebody comes to the table with, let's say, an idea or something kind of controversial or an opinion that they don't like, they get defensive.
I had that happen to me once. I worked for a guy who said he wanted me to be honest and with him at all times, and I got another offer. I'd been working for him for a while. This was a long time ago. I got an offer of another job. I considered the offer. I talked to the folks and turned them down. Afterwards, just in case, because it was a small world, I wanted to make sure he heard from me that I had talked to the people, because I thought he might hear from somebody else. So I went to him and said, "Look, these people approached me. I looked at their deal, and I turned them down." And instead of him thinking, I'm glad you were honest with me, and I'm glad you chose our company over theirs, instead of that, he was angry at me for leaving, for actually having gone and talked to them.
Amazing, isn't it?
And that sort of stifled my future communication with him.
And if other people see that somebody operates in that way, then they're going to shut down. I mean, everybody else is not going to say anything either. And people watch. They call that boss watching.
Right.
You watch your boss and you try to determine, is it safe or is it not?
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other
that's
side...
That's an unproductive activity, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's people kind of sit there and evaluate. But I think what we can all do in life is take responsibility for the way we communicate. Reminds me, I had a person come up to me one time in the course, and she said, "My 19-year-old daughter lies to me. What do you think I should do?" I said, "Go home tonight and ask your 19-year-old daughter, what is it about me that has you not feel like you can tell me the truth?" You know, we need to take sometimes responsibility that we actually train and condition people and create environments where it's not safe. And what can we do better is create environments where it is safe, not be defensive. And if we do get defensive, apologize. You know, sometimes an "I am sorry" goes a long, long way.
Right. Well, and also, I think it's all up to us, though, those of us who want to tell the truth, it's up to us to make sure that we tell the truth in a way that is productive and constructive and not accusatory, not to make, and that does the opposite of making the person feel defensive.
Absolutely. In fact, in my book, Just Be Honest, it's all about how we need to take responsibility of our opinions, but one of the most important distinctions in life is the difference between a fact versus opinion.
Right.
The big problem is many people think their opinions are facts.
Well,
where it all breaks down.
That's what I have a little joke that I say that I'm frequently wrong, but never in doubt. Hey, thanks, Stephen. Good job today. I enjoyed having you on the show again.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
We'll have you back again another day. Just Be Honest. And his website is, that's the book, and his website is justbehonest.com. Check it out, folks. Don't forget to take advantage of that discount he offered us. We'll get Stephen back on another day. Quick break, 29 after. I'll be right back with Shelley Brady. You don't want to go away. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.